most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Yes, who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Man, I'm watching John Wall take on this kid. This kid had no chance against a John Wall. Now, granted, the kid's like about 5'8", and doesn't look like he ever played basketball, but that doesn't matter. John Wall was just dealing on. So John Wall wants back. That happened this weekend. He wants to actually play instead of sitting there and watching the Rockets. He says, I want to play. Might as well. What's the difference, right? What's the difference? Why would you not play? I know they're winning now. They're the hottest team in basketball at this point, winning two straight. Congratulations, by the way. 146-143. They beat Charlotte. They beat the Bulls. And they beat Charlotte. Charlotte's understandable. The Bulls? That's unbelievable. So congratulations. I don't know if it's coincidental how much better they're shooting with Jalen Green down. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's probably self-explanatory. They're just a better shooting team when Jalen Green's not on the floor because he sucks at that whole shooting thing. He really, really kind of does. And that's a shame. He's a young guy. He's going to learn, blah, 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 all that stuff. But man, they look a lot better. They look a lot better without Jalen Green on the floor. That's for sure. And they just actually look like more cohesive, getting better shots, actually making shots. So that's different.
Three wins. I mean, that's...
Well, two in a row.
The over-under was 27.5 this year, headed into the year.
Well, that's not going to happen. The question was whether or not they were going to lose more games than any team in NBA history.
Yeah, right now they're not on pace.
No, not even long.
They're not even close. That's why one single win knocks it all out of whack. Yeah. Do they get to 17 wins this year? That may be asking a lot. John Wall wants back. That's the story with them is John Wall wants back. I'm of the mind that, you know, bring him back if he wants to come back and play. The Rockets, you know, it had been, from what we understood, a mutual decision between the two sides.
They're on pace for 13 wins now.
That's it?
Yeah. They won 3 out of 19 games. 3-16, right?
No, they were 1-17 at one point. Aren't they 3-17?
Oh, is it 1-17? Okay, I'm sorry. Then it's not quite 13 then.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's still pretty terrible.
No, it's awful. It's rotten. There's no question about it, even with two straight wins. So, no, that's horrible. They're still on pace to be... No, they're 3-16, not 3-17.
Are they 3-16?
Yeah. So they won 3 out of 19 games. That's a 157 win percentage.
Oh, that was,
translates
that's right.
to 13 wins.
I was thinking 1-16, that's 17 total.
Yeah.
1 of 17, yeah. But not now.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Not anymore. They're on a run. I'd bring Wall back. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
If John Wall wants to come back, I would bring him back because I do truly feel like he would potentially benefit Jalen Green.
The problem with John Wall playing was, what if he gets hurt and then you can't trade him?
Who cares? No one's going to trade for him.
No one's trading for him.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No one's trading for him.
Doesn't matter. You're not getting anything for John Wall.
And I don't feel like he'll be a cancer to you, to the young player.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
actually, he might be able to help him
if
play.
He wants to go, the best case scenario is that he plays and maybe... You know, maybe he plays well enough that a buyout could find him a home, or maybe a team would be. Maybe the Rockets could send a certain amount of cash in consideration back to the team to take him. You don't want to send any of your draft picks, but maybe you could send some cash and make it happen before the trade deadline. I mean, if you're John Wall, isn't that what you want anyway, is to get out of there?
Yeah.
You're not going to do it from the bench. No one wants to trade for you.
No. No, well, you were worried about him getting injured, but it's not happening.
Because you know what it could do? Maybe put Jalen Green in a better position to be a more efficient player. And right now, his development is the most important thing. And as long as John Wall's not a cancer in the locker room, this isn't a good team. It's a bad team. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. They need a stabilizing force as a point. Now, he doesn't play, you know, he doesn't play all the time. So it is what it is.
Right. Well, no, but this, like you said, maybe somebody will say, hey, John Wall is playing well. John Wall, maybe we'll pick up $10 million of his money. Mm-hmm. And Tillman will go, oh, I just saved $10 million. Done. Go.
Hey, bye. $5 million. Trust me.
$5
million. Tillman would take anything.
$5 million. Whatever. That's a lot of meals that Tillman has to sell to make up for $5 and $10 million. And then there's Hector Neris. He was signed by your Houston Astros this weekend. 2 years, $17 million. Hector Neris has spent his entire 8-year career with the Philadelphia Phillies. He may be someone you've never seen before. He actually closed for them. He had in the 20s with his number of saves a couple of years. He was no longer their closer, but he is a guy that has got a 3.42 lifetime earned run average and 84 saves. Last year he was 4-7 with 12 saves and a 3.63 earned run average in 74 games. He lost his job in June. He started as their closer, but he lost his job in June.
Astros lead the league in former closers. They have over the last 2 years.
Right. Well, it looks like Yimi is going to get himself nice.
He's in Toronto now.
Yeah, yeah.
He did a deal with Toronto, I think $5.5 million per year.
Yimi did a deal. Gausman did a deal with Toronto as well. And somebody asked us, well, look at all these guys going, well, the Astros just signed Justin Verlander, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Kendall Graveman is a Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
$8 million a year for 3 years.
That's going to be, he'll be a nice setup guy because they could use him instead of Michael Kopech. We talked about this on Friday. They could use him instead of Kopech. He'll be a setup guy for Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
And that's a nice pickup for them. I don't know if I wanted to go that long with Graveman.
Not at $8 million. You're betting on the come there, which it's perfectly possible. It's perfectly possible. The Astros, one thing we've learned about the Astros is they take shorter-term deals. They're willing to go a little older, but a little shorter-term. So they're willing to go Uncle Mike 2 years, followed by a two-year. They're willing to go. They were not in on, I guess, Marte was just too rich for their blood at what? It ended up being a five-year or four-year deal for Marte.
Marte was 4 years.
Yeah, Marte was 4 years, but it was good money for Marte.
But I didn't think it was crazy money.
Wasn't crazy, but I don't think the Astros want to go 4 years for an older player.
Well, that I could see. Simeon, 7 years is nuts.
Yeah, but remember, Marte's older, so the four-year deal is...
He's only a year older.
What is he? He's 33, right?
32, isn't he? I'm pretty sure. Well, either way...
Either way, he's going to be 36, 37 years old when he's done.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he's slowing down. I don't think they're going to regret the Marte deal at all.
Marte's 33... He's 33 right now.
I don't think they're going to regret that at all.
But he will be, at the end of his contract, he'll be 37. I don't think the Astros, other than
Hall of Fame pitchers. Simeon will be 38.
Yeah, no, the Astros aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. That's why Uncle Mike will be done after next year. It'll be, they're not going to keep
going. Well, it's funny, though. Simeon gets a 7-year deal, and Carlos is 4 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Astros won't budge on a 7-year deal for a 27-year-old. Although, maybe we'll see. Listen.
They never, ever think that Jim Crane, when he came in, you may remember this. The discussion was he was a guy who played baseball and he wanted to get to an analytics model of basically analytics model. You can talk about super shift and all that. But first and foremost, the way that Moneyball was created was about roster building and being frugal with roster building and finding the best values. And Daryl Morey is very much in that camp as well. Wouldn't go an extra year for Dragic, lost him because of that. Wouldn't go with a full mid-level for Marcin Gortat. What you have is the Astros follow the same model. They're not going to pay ultra years. That's not what they're going to do because it's not a smart analytics model. It's not a value-based model. They're always going to look for value. There's never been anything that they've done that doesn't tell you that. Where's the outlier deal where you go, well, that was kind of a dumb deal, but, you know, they just, you know, wanted to get their man, so they're willing to overpay. Tell me the Astros move where they went crazy. Well, not Justin Verlander at $33 million a year. That guy was a Hall of Famer who still had stud ability, and it was a 2-year deal that they re-signed him to. The Astros have not done a bad deal since Jim Crane has been here. Not a, when I say bad, you have deals that don't work out or trades that don't work out. name the deal that they put together either through free agency or through a contract to a player where you say, boy, what a bad deal. Were you at the time winced? Can you name one?
No.
I can't name one because they're not going to do it.
Well, Altuve was a 5-year deal. It was a little surprising they did Bregman as young as they did. Speaking of which, Wander Franco, holy crap, doing that long a deal for a half a season? You've seen Wander Franco for a half a year?
What, he got 10, right?
He got 13.
Oh, is it 13 years?
It's 12. I think it's 11 with a 12th, with a 12th option. It's just unbelievable. I mean, after you saw him for a half a year.
Yeah, 11-year, 182.
Yeah, plus the 12th year is an option. It's just crazy that they would do something like that. I thought Bregman 5 years instead of going through all the arbitration and stuff. Well, that's nice. But are you sure he's going to be all of that? Well, he's lived up to the deal, I guess. The playoffs notwithstanding.
Yeah, yeah, but you didn't. That was not a crazy deal. You're getting him at the front end of his prime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I guess the same one you can say with Franco.
Carlos to a 7-year deal, the reality is, I know what the market is. But just from an analytic standpoint, from a value-based standpoint, a 7-year deal would be, it's a little long for Carlos's background, but you're willing to pay for what might be, because he'll be an elite defender for years to come. You could live with seven.
His back, if his back stays.
Yeah, as long as his back is okay. You could live with seven. My guess is the Astros would go to seven. I don't think they'll ever go to eight for anybody.
Yeah, I don't think so either. We'll see. But here's the deal, is now with everything that's happening right now, I think the Astros are one of the favorites for Carlos Correa.
When we come back, let's talk about why. Because there is some shifting and turning and twisting in the free agent market at shortstop, and we need to take a look at who's gone, who may be gone soon, and the shortstops that are left, because the Astros could be in the market for the leftovers.
Well, right. And this is a good point. Starling Marte is 33 years in Dominican years. So God only knows.
Yeah.
Although the dude seems to be getting younger. I'll bet on him. You know what, though? I'll bet on just about anything. I did bet on a lot of stuff this weekend and didn't do great. I don't want to say I did great. I love to be around him. I love to be around the bets. I just don't. The Ohio State bet, it turned out exactly as I thought. It was too good to be true. Just giving 7.5 points to Michigan. Guess what happened? Michigan not only covered, they won the football game. That's what you have to weed out. When you're looking at betting, you have to weed out, man, how in the world is this team? I got to bet on. No, go the other way. And that's what you're going to find when you go to MyBookie. You're going to find some odd lines, some lines that are different, some lines that may be a little weird to you. So what you're going to do is go the other way. That's what I should have done. I've known this for years, and yet I fell into the same trap. But here's the deal. If you're looking to win, and get paid, play the game. And when you do, MyBookie will pay you. And, oh, by the way, they will match up to up to $1,000 on anything you deposit right now. At MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Looking for the best way to win and get paid? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, by the way, Wednesday is our golf tournament, the occasional invitational. It actually happens every year. Why do we still call it the occasional? When we should call it the annual.
Because there's no set time of year that we do it. It's just still annual. But it's not annually because we've done two this year.
Yeah, we do it every
year.
If it's every year, it's annual.
But we've done at least two this year. I think we've done three in the last time.
You may be right about that.
I think we've done three this year, actually.
Well, how about the biannual? Do you want to put bi on this?
Good.
Are you curious enough to put bi on this?
It sounds like you are.
Only a few days left before you could take off work and play a fun round of golf with us at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And actually a couple of foursome spots left.
They auctioned you off yet?
Yeah. Picked up $2,500.
Yeah. Who's going?
Jason from Mac Vibe put it up. How about that?
Who?
Jason from Mac Vibe. I met him. I met him before with Tiny. He does. They sponsor the.
Why would somebody spend that much to be with you?
Because fun. Okay. 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 Oh, now I want people. Okay. Who wants to play frisbee golf with Lance? Okay.
That's not what we're doing.
713-780-3776. Bid. You bid on playing frisbee golf with Lance.
When? I'm not
right
playing
now.
With you.
No.
I got draft stuff to do.
Okay. I thought you said as soon as it warms
now,
up.
$1,000 a head. It doesn't go to charity. It's in my pockets. But if you want an entire scouting class, I'll let you sit in with me for 2 weeks of looking at the highest rated. That's going to cost you $1,000 a piece.
Cost you $1,000.
And okay. I'll take three people.
713-780-3000. That'd be, but you got to teach them all, every player.
And make it a week.
Make 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week.
You're not getting 2 weeks.
Yeah, not 2 weeks of that. 713-780-3776. If you want to bid $1,000 to sit with
no,
Lance.
Yet. Okay. You don't have to do that.
Okay.
Just direct message me.
This year's tournament is going to take place on Wednesday at Wildcat Golf Club. All right, my favorite place. Each golfer receives beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, and dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen. Awesome, awesome. Oh, it's a great time had by all. So get to the website right away, ESPN975.com, and sign up. There's only a couple of spots left. So hurry up, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa, we're running out of teams now. And I don't know, do you think he maybe alienated the Yankees?
No.
You know?
I think that's stupid. I saw the guy say that. The Yankees don't. You even made the point yourself.
Yeah.
Yankees don't employ Derek Jeter anymore. Yankees fans, if you follow Yankees fans at all on Twitter, which I've dug around over there just to see their comments, they could give a crap less what he said about Derek Jeter, unless he doesn't sign with the Yankees. The Yankees want they want Carlos Correa. Yankees fans want Carlos Correa. Yankees fans really want Carlos Correa. Why would the Yankees care, the organization care about, so he had an opinion about that Derek Jeter didn't deserve his gold gloves. Who cares? We're trying to win games now. Derek Jeter hadn't been a Yankee for years and years. He's with a different team now. No, I don't think he burned any bridges. He may be unpopular with some hardcore Yankee fans in a barbershop or whatever, but that has nothing to do with trying to win baseball games.
No,
now.
And you know what? He'd be welcome in that locker room, too.
Absolutely. He's a great leader.
Judge would be like, yeah, guess what? I'm over it. Get over here. Let's go win. Let's go.
But the reason that we bring up the Texas Rangers now have a shortstop in Marcus Semien. So the Rangers are out of the Cardinals sweepstakes. So who does that leave that we've discussed? Well, it leaves the Detroit Tigers, who are digging around on Javi Baez, mm-hmm. who's going to be less expensive than Carlos. So they're digging around on Javi Baez right now, which would mean the Yankees are still there, who and they have to pay Aaron Judge in the near future.
Well, they've been digging around on Baez. Doesn't mean they're out of the Carlos.
No, they're not out of it. But so here's the names that are left. Story, Baez,
Seager,
and Carlos. That's four shortstops, and there's three teams that need shortstop that I'm thinking of, at least in terms of course, you know, any team losing a shortstop needs a shortstop. But I mean, the Astros, my point that I'm making is Carlos Correa, if he doesn't go to the Tigers, I think will be a Yankee, and they'll pay him a lot of money, and I don't know that the Astros will be able to get there. Yankees might not even hit $300 million, and they still might beat the Astros out on the offer. But the point I want to make is that there are four shortstops to be looking at potentially, and if Carlos signs a big deal with the Yankees, and let's say Javi Baez signs with, let's say he doesn't sit tight and he ends up going to the Tigers, for example, what you might be looking at is a chance to get your hands on Story or Seager at a reasonable 6-year offer.
What would you think of, and I've seen this, I saw this week, Andrelton Simmons here.
How many years?
Probably 3 or 4. 4, probably.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You know?
I think I'd rather
have... He's 32 right now.
Never mind. 2 years. I think I'd rather have...
He's not... He's a good short... He's a good, solid defensive shortstop. He's not a hitter. But he's a solid shortstop. And I don't know. We'll see. His career OPS is 683. Kind of not exactly what you're looking for.
So Story is being looked at potentially by
on pace is 314, 370 slugging. Ugh.
The Mariners and Phillies
Yikes.
Are looking at Trevor Story. Trevor Story is 29 years old. Coming off a season where his OPS was 801, 874, 917, 914. But, of course, you know, you obviously have to take that with a grain of salt since he plays in Colorado. And you don't want to pay him for OPS numbers in Colorado. You obviously have to look very carefully at the splits. But what about Trevor Story? What about making an aggressive, let's say a five-year. What if I told you 5 years, $100 million for Trevor Story?
That's not going to get it done, by the way.
You don't think?
SpotTrack has him as a $29 million a year guy.
Yeah, they got him more than Carlos. But we know that he's not making more than
Carlos. I know that. That's kind of crazy. Carlos is 26, according to SpotTrack. Corey Seager's 31. And Javi Baez is 24. I don't think Baez gets that. Baez is too up and down. Trevor Story, 5 years, $100 million. I'd do that right now. Although you have to worry a little bit about his splits. I mean,
no, you have to worry a lot about it. Yeah, average annual market value 29.8. I mean, that's not happening. You obviously have to consider splits for. Let me take a look at his splits. I mean, it's obviously going to be heavy for. And really, you need to look at career splits. Well, 20 wasn't played there, but his career splits, home and away, his home OPS 880, away 717.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It's just a little better than Anderson Simmons.
Batting average, 296, 203.
Wow.
No, that's just for, I'm sorry, that's not career. That was this year. Still. Ooh, man, not great. Let me look at career. His career splits, home and away, for his career. Home, OPS, 972. Road, 752. No good.
Nope.
That is something I would never offer him more than $20 million when that's his road splits. I mean, OPS, let's see, splits, where is it? Get it back there. Man, when that is your career splits, your career number is that bad?
Yep.
Yeah, here it is. Batting average, 303, 241. On base, 369, 310. Slugging, 603, 442. OPS, 972, 752.
Not good. 827 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's talk about the college football weekend on the other side. That's what we're going to do when we come back. And it was one hell of a college football weekend. In the meantime, right now, I'm talking about my peeps over at HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. HRP is the way to go if you're looking for that payroll and you're looking for that HR. Now, other payroll companies, they're going to tell you that, listen, okay, so we've got this. This is our payroll. It's going to be less than HRP's. You see? Oh, look at what you're saving over here. And you go, wow, you're going to save a little bit in the payroll. You know, it's going to add up over time. Sure. But by the time it's all said and done, their HR is going to cost you this. Wait a minute. Now you're gonna. What about their benefits packages? I have to take this benefits package. Wait, but that's not exactly what I wanted, and that's a little. That's more. Oh, wait a minute. This 401k. What? I have to take that. This insurance. I have to take this. Yeah, that's what the other companies are doing. HRP does payroll, and they do HR, and that's it. And then they give you options on all different types of insurance and 401 and everything and benefits packages and everything else. So if you're looking for that kind of company, and that's where you save money, and you're saving in the long run a bunch. You're saving a bunch in the long run. That's what we have found out. That's what you will find out when you go to HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Biggest story of the college football weekend was Michigan just taking care of business against Ohio State.
Man, what an old school attack.
It was good to see, too.
It was. It was. And the game was played in some snow. It was a good game. I thought it was a really good game. Really good game. Fun to watch. It was some back and forth. And then Michigan imposed their will with just a heavy dose of run. I thought Ohio State screwed themselves. They turned a touchdown into a field goal. They ran down in the first half. They went down the field with the running game. And then for whatever reason, tried to get cute and throw the ball, and they ended up, you know, incompletions and taking sacks. And so, you know, I thought that that was a big problem as they got away from the running game. And once Michigan got ahead, they boat raced them. And I thought they took Ohio State's will to defend the run away by the fourth quarter.
They really did. And Taylor McCarger is joining us right now, former Rice quarterback and college football analyst for ESPN, joining us once again on the show. Taylor, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Man, great to have you on. Let's talk a little bit about, okay, I was surprised. Shouldn't have been, because the line was odd before the game. The bookies wanted you to bet Ohio State. They knew Michigan was the better football team. And they really proved it, didn't they, Taylor? That is a playoff football team, that Michigan team.
You know, what you guys said just a second ago, I think, is exactly right. Michigan won that game in the trenches, and it was the first time that we had seen Ohio State get pushed around. Even if you go back to the game earlier in the year that they lost against Oregon, they didn't get pushed around like that. And Michigan established the line of scrimmage on offense. Offensive line play was phenomenal. And then on the other side, Ohio State, whenever they had time, right, whenever there was, you know, Stroud didn't have Aiden Hutchinson all over him, they actually still threw for almost 400 yards in that game. But the key was for Michigan on the defensive side, more often than not on those passing downs, they were disrupting Stroud and that offense that we really hadn't seen. You know, go back to Purdue and Michigan State when they're just running through these teams. Nobody was getting home like that, and Michigan was able to do it, sometimes with just three and four guys. They weren't even blitzing. So you're exactly right. That brand of football, I think, travels, and we'll see it next week in the Big Ten Championship, where they should be favored. I haven't seen the line yet, but they should be a two-score favorite. And I agree. I think they match up well, you know, as well as anybody could hope to against Georgia.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Listen, I think that I saw the stat before the game. I think 18 or 19 straight times, the team that ran the ball better in the Michigan-Ohio State game won. 297 rushing yards for Michigan. Ohio State, 64.
Yeah, and they got away from it, and they put everything in Stroud's hands, which was, you know, I just think a bad decision. Michigan, minus 11 at home against Iowa, which...
No, it's in Indianapolis.
Big Ten championship game. I actually like the points there. I think Iowa is a lesser version of Michigan this year. They're not as talented. Michigan's clearly the better team. Actually see if Iowa can score. But I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan was a little bit down emotionally after what had to be an unbelievably emotional win. How about the job by Hutchinson?
I just don't trust Petras. I don't know. I've seen him.
No, I don't either. I'm wondering if Michigan's a little flat after that. I mean, that's the biggest game in the Jim Harbaugh era.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Now, the question's going to be, I guess, here the real question here is going to be what happens to Ohio State come tomorrow when we see the new set of rankings.
They're out. The two losses, they're out.
I could see their two losses, they're probably out to number five.
No. They're not even five.
You think they're who's going to be a five?
It's either
Remember, they were two.
Either Notre Dame or Oklahoma State.
They were number
they're
two.
They're not going to be ahead of those two.
I'll bet you they don't fall. They won't fall six spots.
Taylor,
seven spots.
Taylor, what do you got for tomorrow? What is it going to be?
Yeah, I actually think the AP poll got it right. I think Ohio State. I would expect them to drop to seven, and ahead of them, I think it's chalk with Georgia staying at one. Obviously, Michigan bumps up to two. The three and four spot, I think, is where it gets a little interesting. I think that's where, you know, do they put Bama in an unconvincing win? Do they put them at four, or do they have them at three? And then I'd have Cincinnati behind them. Then it's, you know, to me, it's Oklahoma State or Notre Dame, one or the other. I think it probably deserves to be Oklahoma State after beating OU and Notre Dame there at the sixth spot. And what I think is fascinating down the stretch Georgia, obviously, I think we all expect them to beat Alabama. They stay in Bama. Michigan. But then behind them, Cincinnati wins out. I think they're – I wouldn't have said this even 3 weeks ago, but I do think that they get in. If Baylor wins, who's the four? Do they put in an okay 11-1 Notre Dame team that didn't play a conference championship? I think it may be them. Otherwise, it's going to have to be two-loss Bama, and I don't know that they've really shown enough to warrant being put in. So the biggest matchup of the championship Saturday to me is the Big 12 championship, because that's really where that fourth spot hangs, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You know, it'll be interesting, though, Taylor. We know they like Notre Dame. Even I don't think you can leave. If Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 championship with one loss, I don't think you can leave.
Since he's getting in. If Cincy beats University of Houston, who's got a little national buzz right now, I mean, they've won a bunch of games in a row. Cincy's getting in. I don't think, if Cincy wins out, and especially if they win in relatively convincing fashion, 10 points, which I think that is what they're favored by.
10.5.
I think Cincy's getting in.
It'll be really, really interesting. If Alabama beats Georgia.
That's the problem.
If Alabama beats Georgia, Michigan wins, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, both win. Taylor, how do you see that fit? How do you see that ending up?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately for the Bearcats, I think that's the only scenario where they get left out. And it would come down to Cincinnati, the best win of the year is Notre Dame, who their strength of schedule is in the 100s. But for Oklahoma State, if they were to close out the year with a win in Bedlam and then beat a top 10 team in Baylor as well, I think they probably vault Cincinnati. But if you're a Bearcats fan, you want all of the favorites to win out. You want Georgia to win, you want Michigan to win, and you want Oklahoma State to win. Because in that scenario, not only do I think Cincinnati gets in, I think Cincinnati has a chance, depending on how the championship games, how they look, there's a chance. I mean, maybe they end up in the three spot. I don't know. We'll see. But if Baylor were to win, that's where I think this gets really interesting. What do you do with the four spot?
Baylor move up all the way up from 8 or 9 to into it with a win over Oklahoma State. I can't either.
No,
I think Notre Dame sneaks in.
Right.
I agree with you. Yeah. Notre Dame would probably sneak in. Let's say this. Cincinnati loses. Alabama loses. Oklahoma State loses.
Oh my God.
Well, there's
we've seen scenario where that's happened.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely.
Ohio State's in. That makes it easy to put Ohio State
in. Ohio State, and then you got a chance that.
Do you not think Ohio State's.
Baylor, that's where Baylor could sneak
in. Do you not think Ohio State's one of the four best teams? They were literally just at 2, and we were talking about they were the hottest team in football, and they get beat in a rivalry game that was a scrap. Like, do you not think Ohio State's one of the four best teams?
Okay.
I think they're better than Alabama.
Taylor. Name the four best teams in college football right now.
The four best, if you were to take, put records aside, and if I were to power rank these teams, I think it's Georgia, I think it's Michigan, I think it's Alabama, and it's Ohio State.
I do too.
And I don't think Notre Dame is one of the top four best teams. I certainly don't think Oklahoma State or Cincinnati is. You know, Cincinnati. What's interesting, if you look at Vegas odds against any of the projected other three of the final four teams, they're a dog in every one of these games, even to Oklahoma State. So, I think it's a wonderful story. I've been pulling for them. I'm a group of five guy, right? I'm pulling for them. I want them to think they're deserving, but I think there's a difference in being deserving and being one of the four best teams.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they're better than Ole Miss. I think they have a scrap with Baylor. And play Notre Dame again. I'm not sure that Cincinnati takes care of that, but you know what? They beat him already, so they deserve that.
The Jeff Sagarin ratings, by the way, who to me, he's been one of the very best in his predictor, which is predicting how teams would play. It looks at more ways that a little bit more heavily ranking, now than versus the entire body. He has it Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Michigan 4. Maybe this is...
Yeah, it's got to be... He hasn't updated it, maybe.
Through games in November 27th. That should be this weekend.
Yeah, that should be this weekend.
That should be this weekend.
Ohio State still too?
I got to see. We'll see. We'll see how. Because here's how he has it: Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ole Miss. Now, I agree with. I agree with what you said. I think that it really is Michigan 2, Alabama 3, Ohio State 4, or Ohio State 4, Alabama 3, and Alabama 4. And wouldn't if it were to happen that way, let's say Alabama plays Georgia really, really close. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia because Georgia's not falling out. Mm-hmm. Alabama and Georgia then would be a lock in. If Michigan wins, Michigan would be a lock. I think it would be interesting if Houston beat Cincinnati, but Oklahoma State might jump Notre Dame and, Ohio State might jump Oklahoma State and Notre Dame. I could see the committee saying, because the committee starts fresh every single week.
Yeah, no, if Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, then Ohio State won't beat them. But here's the interesting thing is, I think, Taylor, like you said, it'll be interesting to see Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, that they may, it still might jump Cincinnati.
I think you have to look at, it's still a Power 5 conference, and you still have a couple of those teams. There's a reason that prior to Bedlam, you had Oklahoma State, and Baylor ranked as high as they were, because it's set up for the end of the schedule. All of these teams are going to play one another, and you put them all in a blender, and if one of them comes out undefeated, well, guess what? Now you've got two top 10 wins, and that matters to the committee at strength of schedule. And performance against those top 10 teams matters tremendously. The committee has proven that time and time again. I agree. I think a close one loss. I mean, it's a 3-point loss to Iowa State. If that's your only loss of the year and you win the Big 12, I think that team is probably in. Really, in any of the scenarios we lay out, I can't really see a scenario where they don't get in at this point.
That's Taylor McCart right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking some college football. It'll be interesting to see how the committee looks at all this. It's a mess, and it could get even worse. We could have all kinds of chaos this weekend with the championship games. Taylor, as always, we really appreciate you being here. Thanks for hanging with us.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Taylor McCarg right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 843, 713-780 3776, the number to hang with us here on anything that we've talked about. You're more than welcome. You want to hit on the Correa thing, you're more than welcome to do that. You can do that. We've got John Wall. We've
the return
got the
of
Texans.
John Wall.
We got the Justin Reed situation.
We got a lot of college football. And hey, I'm interested in hearing from Aggies. It got a little murky on Twitter on Saturday and on Sunday. Jimbo started trending. You never like trending. On a Saturday or Sunday. Bill O'Brien, of course, trended for like the ninth week in a row.
Yeah.
Bama fans are so at wit's end with how bad that offense, how inconsistent that offense has been. They couldn't score on Auburn. No. I mean, Auburn, Tank Bigsby probably lost that game for them by not sitting down and getting knocked out of bounds and the clock stopped. If he'd have slid down, that game probably ends.
Over.
And they win the Iron Bowl.
Yep. Probably.
Oh, Brian, there's just no way that Nick Saban's okay with this. There's no way that Nick Saban's okay with this.
844 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about Chastain Ford. And I love those people over there. I love the car that they put me in. I love being part of the Chastain family. And you literally are part of the Chastain family. The service, the attention that you get, the price that you're going to get. Everybody is part of the family. Everybody's going to be part of the family. Not just because... You know, I know them. I speak for them. I got my deal from them before I started speaking for them. But it's the same for everybody. How much can you spend per month? Because we don't want you choking on your payments. That's the most important thing. Secondly, what do you want in that vehicle? And let's get it customized to exactly how you want it. And we're not going to suggest, hey, you need this, you need it. No. Get what you want. Customize it to the way you want. No dealer add-ons. And that's ridiculous in this business because all all those other dealerships, that's all they do. They try to upsell you as much as they possibly can, which is why you can never do anything online with the other dealerships. You always have to go into the dealership so they can upsell you. That's not the case. You can do it all online at ChastainFord.com. Or get to the dealership, see for yourself, meet the wonderful people. They are wonderful people. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, it's Chastain Ford.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Happy Hanukkah to you and yours. By the way, I don't know if you know, Hanukkah starts is early this year. Is it today?
Is that a rotating schedule, Hanukkah?
Yeah. It's not, yeah.
My roommate celebrated
it's like
Hanukkah.
Lent. It's like Lent. It's seasonal. It's different.
My roommate celebrated Hanukkah in college, Lonnie Elfbaum.
Yesterday was the first day?
And he's like, Hanukkah. He's from Massachusetts, Sharon, Mass. He's like, Hanukkah blows. Well, so why? He goes, we get like pencils, notebook paper, socks. He goes, I want to be like you. I want to be like you Christians and just get a good Christmas. I want to celebrate Christmas, get good presents on one day, just load them up. I'm like, I mean, you can make that move if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You know, I mean, you can come over if you want to. That's not a problem.
Just for Christmas and then go back.
He was very down on Hanukkah. Back in the day, he's like, Hanukkah, great. This blows. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lonnie.
Sorry, Lonnie. Sorry, Lonnie. Sorry.
Lonnie, it's me. It's your boy. I'm hammered. That's back when we used to have answer machines and his friends from high school would call Lonnie.
It started yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday. I knew that.
I'll keep it in mind. Keep me posted on how it goes, John.
My buddy Ian, he's a Jets fan. It was an early start. It was a great start for a huge Jets fan.
Oh, man, congrats on the big win. You did it without Justin Reeks. He was suspended for being lippy in a meeting. So David Culley had to say, I don't like being around him. And then he got suspended.
So,
and that was that.
So I'm not sure it's the ultimate word. My word from the a little birdie was that Coach Culley was telling the defense how poorly they played against Tennessee and the stuff that they did wrong, which Coach Culley had said, like I said, I was listening to the pregame show, and Coach Culley had said, you know, those are learning opportunities. It's easier to teach when you win because you can, you know, yeah, that's great. We won, but we did this, this, and this. When you lose, you know, you don't want to, you know, berate the guys and, you know, they feel bad already, blah, 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 blah. He said, so it's a good opportunity to teach. Well, apparently he was teaching, and Justin Reed wouldn't have any of it. Or wouldn't have some of it, and you know, and got a little lippy with the coach, and so the coach suspended him. Here are the questions. There were multiple Justin Reed. After Ryan Clark came out with his video, and a bunch of people saw that, said, "Wait a minute, he was asked a question." This is what Ryan Clark said from ESPN. Said he was asked a question and answered it, and he got suspended for it. Well, Coach Culley was asked plenty of times, and this is what he had to say.
It was a disciplinary reason. It was a coach's decision, and, you know, we'll keep that internal. Well, I mean, you know, we have rules, and you know, when the rules are broken, and, you know, we make decisions on those, we do those. It doesn't matter who it is.
Zach Cunningham was healthy scratch earlier this year. This isn't the first. There was another
Desmond
one, too.
Desmond King.
This is not the first. This is the third. So this, it's not like he just invented a policy. There's certain things that they want to do.
I think Desmond was a little different. I think he was late for something.
And probably
so you get suspended for that. You
but
know that
it's one of his. It's one of his
rules.
This
was shocking to now
was shocking
not
to
contradicting the head coach might be a rule that you know what? Oh well, because the players weren't shocked. Tyrod was asked about the suspension, and you don't have that. You don't have his sound. Oh, never mind. Tyrod was asked about the suspension. It's like, hey, you know, well, what, whatever. I mean. We got rules, and that's what's going to happen. And so, and actually, Jonathan Grenard too. He was like, I ain't got nothing to say about that. You know, we got rules, and that's all there is to it. So,
One important thing that happened yesterday was Titus Howard moved back to his natural position at tackle, this time left tackle. Titus Howard wasn't a guard previously as a rookie. He's still not a guard. Titus Howard's a tackle. You can't play him a guard. I don't know if he's a full-time left tackle, but he's either going to be a left tackle or right tackle in the league. He's just not good enough as a guard. He's not built. You can't just play tackle or guard where it doesn't matter. You have to have certain, you know, strength levels. You have to have certain, you know, bend at the point of attack and leverage to be a guard as a drive blocker. And he just doesn't hit the mark. He'll probably have to be a tackle. I do think that Howard and Charlie Heck both had issues with getting caved in some of their pass protection stuff. But Howard playing tackle is important because this is now year three for Titus Howard as a tackle. And he's coming up on year four, and there's a fifth-year option the Texans are going to have to decide if they pick up. And, boy, it'd be disappointing if you have to end up letting a first-round tackle go because he's been too ineffective. That's going to be really disappointing. But if that's what's going on, then that has to be the case. You can't keep a guy just because you want to cover your own ass, because there is no ass covering. This isn't Bill O'Brien.
Well, they didn't choose him.
Yeah, Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien chose him. And Bill O'Brien's not there. Brian Gain's not there. Jack Easterby was not part of the crew that chose him. That is a decision that is made by now Nick Caserio. And if Nick Caserio doesn't think he warrants a new contract, he ain't going to give it to him. He won't pick up the fifth-year option. They'll figure it out after year four. So that's just something interesting that happened. Lane Taylor, old-school veteran who's been around with Green Bay Packers, he played. He started yesterday at left tackle. They're just mixing and matching players right now, and they don't really have anything up front. They have no continuity. They have nothing that you can build on. 2 years ago, I would have said, man, this building block's here. You got a building block at left tackle, a building block at left guard in Max Sharping, a building block at right tackle and Titus Howard, and maybe you still have the building blocks with two of your tackles. Sharping has just lost his confidence a couple of years ago, and he's just never gotten it back. And at center, I don't care if you have Questenberry or Justin Britt, it's all Band-Aids. Your right guard's a Band-Aid position right now. You don't have a running back that you can truly lean on right now. I mean, it's a mess. Tyrod Taylor's a bridge quarterback that bridge is not what you want anyway. You're a mess all over the place.
Okay.
And Brandon Cooks doesn't want to be there.
Okay.
He's your best offense player, right? Brandon Cooks? Of your healthy ones?
Yes. How many times did they get the ball yesterday?
I'd be willing to listen to a first round pick for Laremy Tunsil right now.
Do you think you'll get a first round pick for Laremy Tunsil?
You might. Yeah, he can still play. You might get a first round pick for Laremy Tunsil. I'd be willing to listen to it. If somebody wanted to give me a
year left on his deal?
A first at the back end.
I don't think he gets.
I mean, you're in full rebuild anyway.
How many targets did Brandon Cooks have yesterday?
Seven?
Five.
Okay.
Three catches. Mm-hmm. 45 yards.
One was a touchdown, which, by the way, was a phenomenal. Two back-to-back great throws by Tyrod Taylor. One
great
of
throw
them,
and catch.
Nico Collins just stopped his route at about the 15-yard line, just started cruising instead of continuing to run, or he's got a touchdown catch in the end zone on that post corner, and then on that corner route. And then you had basically a vertical, and it was a 52-yard in the air throw on a rope that was a beautiful pass from Tyrod Taylor. That was a back-to-back. The first one was on the receiver. He just didn't finish his route. The second one was just another great throw by Tyrod Taylor. That was pretty much it for Tyrod Taylor's great throws, though.
Mm-hmm.
That touchdown, I was like, well, hope you enjoyed today. Well, that's it for me, guys. 14 points is all we can get. Good luck.
Unbelievable how they just shut down.
14 points, that's all we can get against the Jets.
Oh, my gosh. It's just unbelievable how they just shut down in the second half. It is the worst. They're the worst. Punt, missed field goal, downs, end of game. I mean, just the worst. Just the worst. That's their second half. Punt, missed field goal, downs, end of game. Just awful. This is the worst. When we come back, I want that. That's a question. Guys that will be here, young players that you want to see around for your Houston Texans in 4 years. That's what we're going to do. No, no, no.
That's gross.
No, that's not gross. All right, it's a, we'll it's a legitimate 90, question.
Okay, 90 seconds. It won't take longer than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're efficient with our words, it won't take more than 90 seconds.
I don't even know if it'll take that long. So what we got right now is always Coors Light because that's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I want that to last as long as possible. But it just doesn't because it's 12 ounces of wonderfulness. I had me some Coors. You think I had any Coors Lights this weekend? Went to see the LSU Aggie game. Think we had some Coors Light. Think we had some Coors Light at Chris at Thanksgiving. Yeah. You think we did? And then the day after Thanksgiving, what are you going to do? You're going to have Coors Lights. And then on Saturday, when you go to the game, what are you going to do? Coors Lights. When you get back to Houston after driving back and at a long, arduous trip down I-10 from Baton Rouge, what are you going to do? You're going to drink Coors Lights. This is what you're going to do. It is the world's most refreshing beer. I want a refreshment. I want a refreshment. Do you think I wanted? You think I want my beer with a bitter aftertaste? You got that bitter beer face? No. What I want is cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I want the world's most refreshing beer, and that's what I've got. And you should make it the beer of your choice, no matter the holidays, not the holidays, whatever the case may be. It's Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do